Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. I am indeed Mrs. Green, and I have a big green grin on my face tonight. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We are live tonight, this Tuesday. Thank you for joining us. And thank you to the Healthy You Network for sponsoring the show tonight. It's a special one-hour edition of Down to Earth with Mrs. Green because there is so much content in what I believe to be one of the most important issues of our time. And one of our guests, John Reed, will say, no, it is the most important issue of our time. I couldn't get my head around a 30-minute show. It's my network, so I said to my friend Amber, let's do an hour show to just lay the foundation for what the Healthy You Network is, what your vision is, and I'm just going to take a minute to give you both the proper introduction, and I'm going to read a little bit, and then it's going to be all about Healthy You Two. But before becoming one of the founding members of Healthy You Network almost 3 years ago, John Reed enjoyed careers as a higher education faculty member, as an administrator, and as a newspaper editor, feature writer, and columnist. He has an AB. Is that right? Or is that? Yeah, AB. I love
yeah,
that.
That's John. Right. Yeah.
That's
right.
It. I'm like, okay. In American Studies from Yale University and degrees in both history and English. Translation. Overachiever. Just kidding, John, as well as a PhD in higher education administration from the University of Arizona. His involvement with Healthy You Network stemmed from his conviction that educating people about healthy eating could help people live healthier, happier, more productive lives, while at the same time making a positive contribution toward improving animal welfare and the health of both the planet and the country's economy. John, I am so glad you're here. I am not kidding. And I'm so impressed by your credentials. And here's another person that I am very impressed with. Amber, and you know, how many years have I known you? And do you say your last name Adil?
It's Adil.
Adil. See that? I mean, I don't think anybody in Angel Charity knows that.
I don't think
anybody does either.
Adil.
Okay, we're not going to say that anymore. Has one of the most important jobs on the planet. She's a mother. She's a mom. She's raising children. She is helping them to lead healthier lives and not have to get rid of all these bad habits that I've accumulated over my lifetime. She's a runner. She's an active member of one of the greatest charitable organizations in Pima County, Angel Charity for Children. And I am proud to call her my friend. And unfortunately for her, my mentor on this journey, she gets the crying phone calls after the movies I watch and saying, Amber, what am I going to do? I'm on such a journey. Okay, so let's get started. It's amazing to me what the Healthy You Network has done already in terms of what you've started. And let's talk about what is the Healthy You Network, what its mission is, and give some time to that because that'll lay the foundation for the rest of the show.
Well, really, the mission is easy to describe. It's simply to educate people who live in Southern Arizona about the way they can become healthier, so their lives can be healthy, so they can avoid the chronic diseases that beset so many people, whether it's cancer or heart disease or type 2 diabetes or obesity, which is an epidemic among all ages in Southern Arizona and throughout the country and throughout most of the world now. And we just want to educate people about how they can avoid these problems. And it's a very, very simple solution. And that's to eat whole foods and to eat plant-based foods. But while that sounds simple, it can be pretty difficult for people to change patterns.
Yeah,
and we talked about that before we went on the air. It sounds really simple. It can be with help, and that's what Healthy You Network does, but it's also a difficult journey for some people.
It's daunting at times.
It can be.
And I don't want to say that. I want this show to be about education and health and hope. So how did you get involved, Amber?
Well, About a year ago, I actually saw John on a morning television program talking about Healthy You Network, which I had not heard of up to that point. And I've always been interested in health-related issues, and I read a lot. So he was talking about a symposium they were putting on. And I thought, well, that sounds like it's right up my alley. I'd love to go to that. And so I did. And there were some really phenomenal speakers. And I don't think that when I went, I knew quite what I was getting myself into, that they were going to advocate that I give up eating all animal products and, you know, go for this whole plant-based diet. But I believed what they were saying. And so I think a seed was planted that day. So I, you know, went back and I started thinking about it. I started changing my diet a little at a time. And then really in March of this year, I just one night had an epiphany when watching a documentary, and I just knew that it was what I had to do. And then a couple months later was the next symposium, and I went and I was so fired up by the speakers that I saw there and just knew that this was the right thing for me. It was the right thing for my children. And so I promptly contacted Healthy You Network and said I would like to volunteer and get involved with you. And that's basically how it happened for me.
And the impact that you have is where the impact has to start, right at the family dinner, at the dinner plate, and about the fast food lines and all that stuff. John, you talked about, this is one of the things I love about Healthy You Network, is the integration of thought. And I think that in our country and in our world, we have silos. This is about water. This is about solar. This is about eating healthy. You, I don't know what the word is, you do it so well, tying in the healthcare. I want to talk about that for a little bit because I come from a mental health background and we manage large volume mental health contracts. And all of a sudden I saw ADD, ADHD, autism, obesity, I mean, which leads to mental health issues. And I remember before I left the field saying, is there a sale on this diagnosis, ADD, autism? The rates are astronomical, the number of children who suffer from autism. Do you scientifically agree with me that it can be all tied, almost all, not all, you can't say all, to diet and what people are eating? There's so much crap.
I think the science is really pretty clear that most of our chronic diseases, and that can be ADD and some of the newer, more recently identified diseases, are tied to nutrition in one way or another. And you're right in being careful about saying all. It's not all or nothing. But if you look at parts of the country, parts of the world where you don't find these kinds of diseases, you know, you look at parts of the world where there isn't breast cancer. Well, you also will find that there is almost no consumption of, say, dairy products. Now, can you do a cause and effect between dairy consumption and breast cancer? No, not in a purely scientific way, but you do see associations. And again, ADD, heart disease, all of these different kinds of things, you can see parts of the world where they don't exist and that people eat very different kinds of things. So the science is really very clear that nutrition is the linchpin for most of the chronic diseases that we suffer, particularly in the Western world, because you can still go to parts of the East, the Far East, and you won't find the prevalence of the kinds of diseases we worry about. But if you go to Australia or you go to Canada, you will find obesity rates that challenge our own, because in the West, where there's availability of all these high saturated animal products that simply aren't good for you, you find the prevalence of disease. I can give you one very specific example. People worry about the increase in Alzheimer's and other kinds of aging disease of the brain. Well, the brain is connected to the heart in a very singular way. It's part of the same vascular system. So it's not surprising that the rates of heart problems have gone up. And so have the rates of dementia. Because again, the kinds of plaques that build up and cause heart problems are the same kinds of things that will lead to stroke and everything else. Because nature has provided a wonderful system, and it's wonderfully integrated. But the problems you get in one area can present as problems in another area. And again, it all ties back to the fuel you put in this wonderful machine we have called the human body.
So, John, what happened? This is not in the list of the four pages of questions I have, but what happened? Like, is it, not to name one cause or lay blame, but I grew up eating pretty healthy. My parents were both trim. We ate a lot of really fresh fruits and vegetables. My mom was a stay-home mom. She cooked healthy foods. Then I was talking to you off air about, you know, Confessions of Mrs. Green. Both of us worked. We did what we thought was the best we could. I mean, I have healthy children that eat so much better than I do, which is amazing. All of my three children eat better, what I would say better. But was it women going to work? Was it fast foods? In your research, now that I know you went to Yale, I know you have to have the answer, John. Come on. But you've made your life purpose this now.
Right.
And I always wonder, where did the why in the road happen that made us, like, I crave ice cream. Like, seriously, I could eat a gallon of ice cream every night. And I know there's something inside of me that is like, you're talking about the cold turkey thing. So what's your answer, John Reed, for what happened?
Well, you've asked two
20 questions.
You've asked two pretty distinct questions. One is easy to answer, the historical question. It wasn't really until the beginning of the 20th century and the full-blown movement of people from farms to cities after the Industrial Revolution that we really started to see patterns in the Western world change. But the eating patterns really started to change after World War II. After World War II, we saw the birth of the fast food industry. You know, things like McDonald's. I'm old enough that I remember when on a McDonald's sign you'd see 8 million served.
I remember too.
And it's billions a day now. And that's really since the 50s and particularly the 1960s. So this whole phenomenon of fast food, junk food, processed food
It's like no food. When I'm eating I mean, is really not eating food.
It's not food. It's food like is really only a 40-year-old or 50-year-old problem. And all these accelerating signs of disease of various kinds are relatively new. I mean, half a century. Now, it is true that the young men who were killed in the Korean and Vietnam conflicts, when they did autopsies on them, about 80% already had coronary heart disease, and their average age is 22. So at 22, you've got coronary heart disease. But again, that was post-World War II. So that really happened. The other thing was that big business came in. Big business likes to make money. It's not some devilish conspiracy. It's simply business is in the business of making money. When food manufacturers discovered that people had a strong propensity to like fat and sugar and salt, all of a sudden we had this explosion of processed food that had high fat content, sugar and salt, and basically got us hooked. And we took it hook, line, and sinker, as it were, and it's just been accelerating ever since. And so the real problem is, for a lot of people, is getting detoxed and getting off their fat addiction, getting off sugar, getting off salt, and all of those kinds of things, which can be done. I mean, studies have shown that if one were to reduce his or her intake of fat and sugar and salt within about 28 days, your taste buds have recalibrated and you no longer have those same cravings. But you've got to get to the 21 to 28 days. So the good news is it is eminently doable. I mean, the harm that's being done can be undone really, really pretty quickly.
The body will help repair itself?
Well, the body wants to. The body wants to be healthy. That's the great news. The body knows what it needs. We're the ones who insist on abusing it.
So what about, like, Amber, for you, when you decided, okay, you're part of a family, what did you do? I mean, there's lots of mothers that are going to listen to the show, lots of grandmothers, lots of people that have the whole commitment. What did you do in terms of your family? Because I know you had a new baby, but what about the other kids? What were they used to eating? You probably weren't a big junk food junkie anyway, but what did you do at home to start changing things?
Well, I wouldn't say that I was a big junk food junkie, but let's be honest, my kids certainly had their share of fast food and processed food and things that I probably should not have been feeding them. So I would say that the very first thing that I did is I went to my husband and I said, we are not taking these kids to fast food restaurants, period. Done.
End of story.
So you can forget about, you know, any drive-through at McDonald's or, you know, anywhere right. else. And that was it. And I explained to my oldest, who is old enough to understand why we weren't going to be doing that anymore and that it's not good for your body. So that was the number one thing that I did. And then it's just a matter of looking at the things that your kids like and saying, how can I take something that they like and make a version that works for them and that they still like? And one thing I will say is if you're going to make this shift, which I think is for me personally the best thing that I've ever done for myself in my entire life, you have to get in your kitchen. And yes. I was not a cook. You can ask right. my husband right. the next time you see
right.
him.
I will.
He did all the cooking in our house. I did not cook. Some people say, oh, it's therapeutic. No, not for me. It's a chore. But I said, you know what? There's no other way to do this. So the great news is there are plenty of resources out there. There are lots of cookbooks that are kid friendly. People have blogs. So for instance, my kids love pancakes. I make pancakes almost every single morning for breakfast. My 3-year-old came and woke me up this morning and said, can I have pancakes? So
you are kidding me.
No, he came in and he woke me from a dead sleep and said,
how do you make pancakes?
So here's how I make pancakes, for instance.
I didn't know okay. this.
So I use, you know, Bob's Red Mill pancake mix there, you know, and it calls for an egg and it calls for oil, which, you know, I don't really cook with oil anymore. So what you can do is you can substitute a tablespoon of unsweetened applesauce for your tablespoon of oil. And I just did a little bit of research online about what are substitutes for eggs, and half of a mashed banana is a substitute for an egg.
OMG.
And okay. so I put that in the pancakes.
They like it.
And they like it.
What about the syrup? I have to ask about the syrup. I mean, is maple syrup okay, or do you use honey, or you just say don't get used to that sweet part?
Well, here's the funny thing. So with my 7-year-old and my 3-year-old, they still get some syrup, but I buy real syrup.
Right.
If I'm going to put
right.
syrup on their pancakes, they're
my
getting...
My husband wants to carry little vats in, yeah. in the purse.
They're
in
getting
purse.
Real syrup.
Right.
But my 1-year-old, who doesn't know the difference, he's not getting it. He gets dry pancakes.
The baby.
And he loves them. So, you know, it's kind of a slowly phasing out things or changing things. And it's, you know, it can be, you know, hit and miss. You just have to experiment. And there are things that my oldest likes that the middle one doesn't, you know, and
but
so
there's a couple of hints that you gave me that are things like making a big pot of whole wheat pasta in the beginning
oh,
of the
yeah.
week and then cooking sweet potatoes. Like to me now, sweet potatoes is a new food for me that you can eat that's mm-hmm. sweet and delicious, and it tastes like it doesn't quite replace my ice cream craving.
But it's good.
But it's really good.
But it's good. So what you do is you say on, you know, Saturday or Sunday, you have to have a plan here. You've got to plan this out. So you sit down and you say, okay, here's some things I'm going to, you know, make for dinner for the week. And yeah, my suggestions to you were cook a bunch of sweet potatoes because you can store them in the refrigerator. Make a big pot of, you know, whole wheat pasta if you're a pasta eater. I make a big batch of quinoa. One thing that my kids absolutely love, and I don't think people realize how easy it is to make and how there are so many different ways you can make it, is hummus. I make hummus at least once a week, a huge, huge thing of hummus.
So tell people how you make it.
Okay, so you can well, a really fun thing to do with kids. So with hummus, you know, you can get different recipes, but if you're looking at a sort of a traditional Middle Eastern recipe, I had to make that a little bit healthier. So all you have to do is, you know, you need a food processor. A regular blender doesn't work
so
great.
We have a Ninja.
Oh, okay. A Ninja. That's cool. Ninja. That sounds good. So, you know, you just take your, you know, garbanzo beans, couple of cans of garbanzo beans, one that's drained and one that isn't. You can put just a little bit of sesame tahini in there because that's got some fat. But for kids, you know, it's going to be okay.
Right.
So, you know, maybe a couple of one or two teaspoons or tablespoons of sesame tahini. You put some lemon juice in there. You put some garlic and you blend it up and that's it. But if you want to do something fun with kids, put some beets in there because it turns it pink. So what a great thing for Valentine's Day. Or if you like, you know, a lot of flavor, take a handful of cilantro and put it in there and you've got cilantro hummus.
So you can really make a bunch of different flavors.
Yeah, and my kids love hummus.
Okay. What about, John, I want to talk a little bit more about what's in our food that makes us addicted to the bad things. One of the things that's high in my radar since this whole awakening, and I can't wait. I think we should do a reality TV show. I just decided, like the remaking of Mrs. Green. Mrs. Green gets all fat. What about things like, do you believe that things like high fructose corn syrup and the hidden things really do make us addicted to bad things?
Well, the science, again, is really pretty clear that some foods, the hardest food for people to get rid of typically is cheese.
I'm so there. Thank you for saying that. When Amber told me that, I'm like,
you know,
why?
Now, I know this is a family show, but I'm going to say that if you have a problem with cheese, you're an addict. And the reason is that cheese has low levels of morphine in it. Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Casomorphine, like the morphine that you would put in a vein if you were a true junkie, they're very low levels and over time. And that's why people really have, they are truly addicted. Now, some people will say there's an addiction to sugar and there is to salt. And whether that's a true chemical addiction, there's some argument about. But, for the sake of argument, let's just say there are sugar addictions and there are addictions to fat and those kinds of things. But the true addiction to these morphine-like substances, I mean, is really, really
John,
true.
John, why is it in there? Why is in cheese?
It is who, simply...
Who thought that up?
Nobody's putting morphine in. Nobody,
right.
This
okay.
is not, again,
okay.
a conspiracy.
Okay.
It's simply part of that natural food, which is a dairy product. There is no plant-based food that would have any elements like that. And I'm not saying that cheese is terrible and cheese manufacturers are trying to sell drugs on the corner. It's not that at all. It is simply a biochemical fact that they are addictive. And that's why people have a really hard time with cheese and some of these other kinds of things. I mean, chocolate has caffeine in. And, you know, people who can't get rid of their caffeine, those are the same kinds of issues. So food addictions are real. But again, they are, people can overcome them really pretty easily. And by the way, you know, you say you're an ice cream-aholic or whatever you want.
I tried to control it. I do.
The best ice cream I have ever had is banana chocolate ice cream made with frozen bananas and some chocolate in a blender, and it is the smoothest, richest, most wonderful, healthiest you will ever have. And I will be very glad to give you the recipe so you never have to go and eat junk ice cream again.
That's really, I mean, things like that are so helpful.
And I will give you a truffle recipe. Well, I don't want to say to die for because that's really the wrong thing to say. But to live for. I mean, there are all these, and Amber hit it. You know, that people think that if they eat healthy food, it's going to be awful. The fact is that when one goes to eating whole food and to the whole range of plant food, not just spinach, but the whole range, all of a sudden, the food horizons open up. My wife and I are real foodies. I eat all day long. I love eating, and I just can't get enough of these good foods, and I can't gain a pound. I feel great.
I'm moving in.
And I don't feel, and you're welcome to move in, and I don't feel at all deprived. And one of the hard things for people to understand is, because you always equate health as a drag, or health is going to be just involve so much sacrifice. And actually now, I could no more go back to eating junk food and food that is going to make me sick. Not because it makes me sick, because it just tastes awful. I have never in my life enjoyed food as much as I have in the last few years eating nothing but good food. And the other thing that's important to say, it's not that expensive. And Amber does the pancakes every morning. There's a guy named Jeff Novick who has a series of DVDs, and they're called Fast Food. And what Jeff Novick does is show that in under 5 minutes, you can prepare wonderfully delicious, healthy meals. It doesn't take all day. You don't have to slave in the kitchen. If you've got, you know, and you just think about it. If we were to leave tonight and go to McDonald's, how long would it take us? We get in the car, we drive there, we go through the drive-through window, and we drive home, maybe eating part of it in the car.
Right. Grabbing those.
How long
French
would that
fries.
Take?
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
If you had a few foods in your freezer, I could go in there into your kitchen and prepare a delicious meal for you in about 8 minutes, quicker than you can get to McDonald's.
So that makes me think and gets me out of breath about the shift in the mindset. And I think the health of our country depends on this, literally. Like, if everything to me, starting on this journey, and I admit I'm not there yet. It's one of the reasons I'm so excited about having you on the show, is with starting from field to fork. What we put from the field to the fork in our mouth. And at what point do you say to people, We went off on this before we went on air. Cold turkey. Let's talk about cold turkey, because so much fear in people's minds about how much it's going to cost, how much they're going to have to give up, that whole deprivation mindset, and why people shouldn't be afraid, and what the Healthy You Network is the takeaway for people listening about cold turkey. I think it's important for me to hear that. You don't really wean yourself off.
Well, there are a couple of issues involved. One, the cost issue. There's a woman in Florida who I've heard speak at conferences, and she's written a book called Vegan on $5 a Day. And what she did, she went to grocery stores, and she used her cell phone, and she just went up to the barcodes, and she did the pricing of healthy foods, went to the vegetables and the fruits and all of that, and then went to some to the meat counter and dairy and all that, and she simply compared them and found that, in fact, you could eat really healthy food for a lot less than you can. Now, you can spend a lot of money if you want on any kind of food.
Right.
But rice, you get a 5-pound box. It is
beans.
Pennies.
Cheap. Lentils.
Yeah.
Cheap.
All of these kinds of grains and a lot of the vegetables are really, really inexpensive. So if one is careful and knows what to do and how to read labels, it's really not any more expensive and can, in fact, be less expensive. And again, it doesn't need to take any more time. The fact is, though, that, again, a lot of people just don't understand. And part of it is, again, not a conspiracy, but the food industry has done a great job in selling. And you can go get a bag of chips and you can open it and you can get a lot of salt and a lot of sugar and a lot of saturated fats very, very quickly. And you can get a lot of calories very cheaply and very quickly. The problem is they'll kill you. And when you get to be 50 or 60, all of a sudden you wonder where the problems started to come from, and you've been building them up. And Amber said, you know, you take time. I'm not going to kid anybody. You have to think about it. You have to think, what am I doing with my body and with my life, and what am I putting in it? If you just mindlessly pick up whatever's available, like a handful of nuts. A handful of nuts is very, very calorie dense and full of fat. Nuts can be very good for you. We do need some fat, but you don't need a handful. You need two or three or four. And so just teaching people about moderation, about what to do, is what Healthy You Network does. We try to educate people about the fact it doesn't have to be expensive, it doesn't have to be hard, but it does take a support system. And you asked about cold turkey, and I'll just say this really briefly. Some people can just go cold turkey, as it were. They can just stop, and that's probably the most efficient way because, as I said earlier, you can recalibrate your taste buds pretty quickly. Some people just can't do it. And to those people, I would say that if you can just eliminate something, if you can eliminate probably the most important thing, you know, this will surprise a lot of people. There's a rough consensus that if you're going to get rid of one thing, it's probably better to get rid of chicken than anything else.
Wow.
Because it is raised in such terrible conditions and fed so many different kinds of drugs and hormones and everything. Chicken can be really, really bad for you. The second thing I get rid of is probably fish. And if you can find good grass-fed beef, that'd probably be the last one. And if you can get rid of dairy products, that's really good. Some people have to go in increments, and that's fine. But as I said, you know, you're almost torturing yourself because if you just get rid of a little bit of fat, you're still going to want the fat. And so if you have the support system, and Amber is great because her kids are so fortunate to have a mother and to have a family unit that's working on this. The difficult cases we see at Healthy You Network are cases where one of the spouses, say the husband or the wife, is really wanting to do this, but the other person isn't. And then you really do have a problem.
House divided.
Yeah, you have a house divided, really. Yep. And I am so fortunate that both my wife and I really enjoy the food, and we enjoy being healthy.
And it's really, I mean, I know for the changes that we have made in our life, and like you said, at some point, Amber, that's what I love about your story. It was a journey. You didn't just like see one movie and say, oh yeah, I'm going to be vegan. That's really great. And here you go, family. But like in our family with us, just changing to smoothies. And I, you know, my husband had some digestive issues and we started having these really healthy smoothies every day. Really healthy ingredients. And one day he came up, he said, you know what? My digestive issues are like, they're non-existent. Okay, what about, this is one of my biggest challenges that's, again, not on my four pages of questions, but I told you this is what was going to happen. One of my biggest challenges is traveling, whether road trips with family, with my grandkids, where I want to be a better example. And my oldest daughter, she is a very healthy eater. My grandkids eat everything. So I went to Phoenix the other day, and I'm going to report on myself, self-reporting. Because of this, because of what I'm learning from you and Healthy You Network and watching Peaceable Kingdom, I was hungry. I wasn't prepared. I'm on the way back from Phoenix. It's like 6 o'clock at night. I went. I did not get McDonald's at Toltec Road, but I got a bag of chips. And I'm eating them on the way home to fill the hunger. And I stopped before I consumed the entire bag of chips. So this is what I did. I did not litter. I took the bag and I held it out the window so that all the chips would be gone. So I hope it didn't get on somebody's windshield and they thought it was a bug. But it's that kind of thing where it didn't taste good. I thought, you're not eating food. This isn't, you're just putting this in your mouth. And I drank some more water because I had some healthy, good, cold water in my car in a reusable swell bottle. So, Amber, what do you do? I know you take trips, so I want to talk about preparing for road trips. And the other thing I want to talk about from both of you is eating out. Because after you and I had lunch and I cried half the lunch at Renee's Organic Oven, I went and looked at some of the places I eat. And honestly, there wasn't one thing on the menu that I thought would pass the test because it had cheese, it had this, and I know you can order without it. But what do you do about travel, both of you, in terms of preparing, taking three or four kids, anybody, on a road trip?
Well, the advantage for having three small kids at this
three
point.
Three small hungry boys.
Right. Three boys is that we've sort of made it so that we go places where we can sort of live where we are.
Okay.
So we
okay.
go, you know, we go when we go to our place in Mexico or we go to, you know, we just went to Telluride
right.
for a week. But we're staying
you in, prepared the food.
We're staying in a condo. So the travel there, I just make sure that I have, you know, things that they can, you know, snack on, that I can snack on. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I buy 20 bananas at a time because I freeze some of them and they're one of the easiest things that I can take that I can eat for a snack or the kids can. But then when we get to wherever we are, you know, I'm going and I'm shopping and I'm making those choices and thinking about what we're going to have. Now, obviously, we're going to eat out. But in this day and age, one thing that's really wonderful is there are apps that you can get on your phone that will tell you where is a plant-based restaurant within so many miles of where I am that I can go and get something healthy. Or you go to a place, you can pretty much most places. I mean, for instance, let's say, you know, you end up at a steakhouse for whatever reason. Well, steakhouses always have baked potatoes.
Right.
You don't
that
have.
I love to put butter in salad.
So ask for the
salad.
Yeah, some
people
say
the best place to go is the steakhouse because they've all got salad bars.
Exactly. They have vegetables. They have, you know, they have salad bars. I mean, you can find those things. It's just a matter of taking a look at those, you know, menus and really thinking about how can I order this and what can I get. So it does take some planning. I mean, like John and I are both saying, we're not going to, you know, sugarcoat it. You have to think ahead and you have to plan ahead. But if you know you're going, you know, to X place for vacation, then do a little bit of research before you go and make sure that for the travel that you pack some things that are healthy, you know, and fruit is a really great option. I mean, there are some fabulous bars and you don't want to, you know, you don't want
to
get.
You don't have to give up red wine, right? Please don't take my red wine away, please.
No, but it would really help if it was organic red wine.
Yes.
So they didn't put added sulfites in
right.
there. But no, you know, even the hardcore people like Caldwell Esselstyn, who wrote the book Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease, even he and T. Colin Campbell, who wrote the China Study, even these real hardcore experts say that a bit of alcohol is not going to hurt you at all. And even Dr. Esselstyn's,
so
I'm here to deliver good news. I mean, you know, Dr. Esselstyn will even say that among his, you know, his very sick heart patients that, you know, a bit of alcohol is not going to, you know, it's not going to do anything.
And so, I have
so,
really
and again, that's
to
part of the deprivation.
Because,
now, you don't want to. I mean, just to me, women, I mean, the data are really, really clear that you women don't want more than drink a glass of wine a day unless they want to double the incidence or possibilities of breast cancer. I mean, those data are there and all, but that doesn't mean that women should never have a drink necessarily. Although there's always the codicil that if you don't drink, don't use the good news to start drinking. But, you know, for those of us who like a glass of red wine, and I'm with you, I'm not about to give that up because there's no reason to with this. This whole thing about eating good food isn't about giving up. It's about taking in and expanding. That's the hard thing for people to wrap their minds around because the first thing most people think is, oh my gosh, I can no longer have XX and maybe they can't or shouldn't have these three things. I'll trade them for a dozen really good things that they've never thought about.
It's a shift in mindset. I mean,
exactly.
it's just like instead of deprivation, mm-hmm. it's really feeding your body what it wants in the first place.
Yeah, one of the great things is to take somebody who really doesn't know and take that person to a store and just go down the aisles. I mean, usually the
Amber's
place...
Amber's going to do that for me.
Oh, well,
she is.
That's one of the things we do in Healthy Network. I mean, we've got a lot of people who would be very happy to take somebody to a grocery store store. You start out, what's the first thing you see in the left when you go in? It's going to be the fruits and vegetables, and you go, or just immediately to the right. You start there and just go through and say, God, look at all these wonderful things you can have, and just fill your cart. And before you're through with one aisle, you'll be full.
And shop the outside and stay away from the inside.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's talk about one of my favorite subjects, which I made a big note on my notes to talk about. Amber shared with me that there is a chocolate that's a vegan chocolate that you can buy that doesn't have dairy products in it. And it's good.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I did.
Crush your heart.
No.
Well, yeah, you can get vegan chocolate chips at Whole Foods.
That's what you were talking about.
That, it was the vegan chocolate chips because let me also admit here that I do sometimes put the chocolate chips in the kids' pancakes. They like those, but yeah, they're fantastic. They don't taste any different than the ones that have milk fat. So why do you need the milk fat in your chocolate chip?
Put that on our list for when shopping.
It's on our list.
And you know, I told you guys that the time would fly. So we only have about 20 minutes left. Let's talk a little bit more about, you have an upcoming event on the 21st of September, which we want, I will be in New York City or I would be there. Then you have another big event in November. What else, to me, the fact that you're going to have a Healthy You Center, you're going to open an office. Talk about that a little bit, both of you, and what do you hope to accomplish by doing that? First of the kind in the country.
Yeah, well, in October, actually, we're renovating as we speak, but in October, we're going to have the grand opening of the Healthy You Network Resource Center, which is at Pima and Alvernon. And what we will be doing in that space is a lot of different kinds of education. We're going to have presentations by area healthcare providers of different kinds, people who are on this plant-based journey. We're going to have potlucks there. We're going to be showing films. We're going to have an extensive resource library where people can come and look at books and DVDs and those kinds of things. It's going to be a community center for health. You know, we talked, when we were forming this organization, we took the name very seriously because we talked about Healthy You. And Healthy You isn't just an individual, because to have a healthy you, you've got to have a healthy planet. You got to have other healthy animals. It's a very broad concept, and we want this resource center to be a place where people can come and appreciate the fact that if they're healthy, other people are healthy, other animals are healthy, the planet's healthy. We want people to understand that the choices they make have dramatic effects on their own lives and the lives of others. I mean, we want people to know that it takes 2,000 gallons of water here in the desert to have 1 gallon of milk.
Say it again.
People need to know that it takes 2,000 gallons of water when you take into what it takes to grow the food that the cow takes in to produce 1 gallon of milk. We cannot as a species survive on 2,000 gallons to 1 gallon ratios. We want people to understand that when they have their friends over for a barbecue on a wonderful celebration,
and we're having,
and they
hot
all
dogs
have hamburgers
and
on the grill, that the 5 pounds of hamburgers they have took 15 to 20,000 gallons of water, which is a full swimming pool. Now, we're here in the desert.
For 5 pounds of hamburger?
For 5 pounds of hamburger, it takes 15 to 20,000 gallons of water. We simply can't do that. So what we want to do at that center is to spread this message that people really understand that the choices they make beyond their own health have serious repercussions. We want it to be fun. We're going to have cooking classes there, cooking demonstrations. People will come there and learn how to make the most wonderful smoothies in the world. They'll learn how to make things really,
pancakes
really delicious
with banana
and fast.
And applesauce.
Yeah, I mean, we will.
Throw it
I
in
mean,
there.
There are wonderful books on how to substitute. I mean, Amber mentioned, you know, putting applesauce in, and there are all kinds of substitutions, healthy substitutions, and we want people to know how to do that. Because one of the big issues is we can talk all day about what we should do and about the health of the planet and about the health of other animals, but people really need to know how to do this. They need to know how to make the pancakes that Amber's kids really will eat. They need to know how to make the ice cream that is good for you rather than the ice cream some of us in this room are hooked
right,
on.
Right, right.
You know, but that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do at the Resource Center starting in October. We're going to be a community center for comprehensive health.
Okay, so as you have been on this journey for 3 years, you have John, Amber, you've been on the journey, not necessarily with Healthy You Network. What's it going to take? Like, for me, I think I'm a typical middle-class, 62-year-old, educated woman, grandmother. I want to live a really long time because I love my grandkids and I want to see their grandkids. You talked off-air a little bit about a revolution. Is it starting? This is a long question, and I'm sorry when I do this, but you helped host Peaceable Kingdom, which changed my life. Okay, you have these life-changing events. I didn't go. I bought the movie. I've just given out to someone else, talked about it a lot. It was sold out. You had to turn people away. You brought it back again. So that's a success. I know one of my friends came up to you crying. I didn't even know that she was the woman because of the cruelty to animal factor. It was not a harsh movie. So what's it going to take in terms of a revolution? Let's talk about his first name, Harold Lyman, the mad cowboy.
Howard.
Yeah. Like, I have Googled everything I can about this guy. You can't question him. He was a cattle rancher. So what's it going to take to start the revolution, John? Healthy You Network?
Well, I think the revolution's already started.
There was a question there.
No. You said, what's it going to take to start the revolution? I think the good news is the revolution has started. I think, you know, my wife and I were just went away for about 12 days on a holiday, and we had absolutely no trouble finding good food everywhere we
awesome.
Went, healthy food. We were up in British Columbia, and we found wonderful vegan food, healthy food, whole food everywhere we went. So the revolution's really, really starting. And in Tucson, you know, you've got a couple of restaurants that really are on the path. Urban Fresh is one.
Right. So many people are talking about that restaurant. It's great to hear that.
Yeah. And there are a lot of other places so you can go. And with a call ahead, you can ask people to prepare stuff. You know, you can go to all kinds of ethnic restaurants and you can ask instead of fried rice. You know, they'll just have some steamed rice and put veggies on it. I mean, there are workarounds, but more places are getting used to that.
Workarounds. Mm-hmm.
So there, I think the revolution is going to have two aspects. One is going to be local, and that's what Healthy You Network's doing. We're trying to create a community model of what healthy eating looks like and to educate people about how to do it. Because we care about the residents of Southern Arizona. We are a Southern Arizona nonprofit, and our mission is to help the people who live here. There's going to need to be, though, a broader perspective, and they're going to have to be people like Bill Clinton through the Clinton Foundation, Bill Gates, people like that. Bill and Melinda Gates really care about global issues, and healthy eating is a global issue. And they're concerned about people starving in Africa. Everybody on this planet could eat well if they were eating plant-based. So global starvation and those big issues are going to take people with a lot of resources and a lot of political strength to do. So I think it's going to come from very wealthy people who understand what the planet needs to be sustained. And I think it's going to take a lot of local boots on the ground, as it were, like Healthy You Network. So it's going to come from two different directions. And finally, the reason the revolution is going to happen is not because Amber and John think that's a great thing. It's going to happen because it has to happen. The planet now has, depending on who's counting, 7 to 9 billion people. They can't eat the standard American diet. It simply is impossible. And so if the human species is going to survive, we've got to change. So, you know, a lot of the optimist in me thinks it's really going to happen in time. The pessimist says the catastrophe may force our hands, but one way or another, it's going to happen. People will have to eat in a more sustainable way. I mean, there's just no logic that says that's not true. The good thing is Healthy You Network is here to help Tucson, to help Southern Arizona. And that's my concern right now. I mean, I'm going to leave it to Warren Buffett and Bill Clinton and Chelsea Clinton and Bill Gates to worry about the large global aspects of this. But Healthy You Network exists to do what it can in a particular community for a particular population that needs help. I mean, if you go to parts of Tucson, it's a very poor place. We've got to help people understand how they can eat healthy, even if they don't have a lot of resources. So we have a lot of work to do as an educational organization. And I think it's, you know, you get people like Amber who have recently joined and have this incredible passion and are curious and all. Amber and others like her are going to be tremendously important in making this happen in this community.
And making it feel as though it's doable. That's a huge piece.
Exactly.
And it's doable. I love that you said fun, because I knew from the minute you came in, you're fun. It's like, I know this guy. He knows how to party on veggies. Yeah. But it's like it people have to think it's not daunting. It's not too hard. And it's not unaffordable. I think that's, people think, oh, well, eating healthy is so much more expensive, and you have the scientific information to prove that it's not. Okay, we have 10 minutes left, but and I want to ask you about, I couldn't have a show without asking you about GMOs, genetically modified organisms, and if you want to touch on that at all. Because to me, when you talk about the optimist in you and the pessimist, for both of you, how do you remain optimistic when you have sellouts to Monsanto? And someone asked me, I was public speaking, they said, what do you think of Monsanto? And talk about being politically incorrect. I just said, they're the devil. I mean, to me, it's like they're one of the biggest devil targets in the world. Weigh in on it. Agree, disagree. What do you think about GMOs?
Well, it's interesting you asked that question, because last night I was reading the nutritionist Jeff Novick on this, because he was asked the same question. And Jeff said, and I highly respect him, he said that, I think it's an important issue, but we've got other more important battles to fight.
Great answer.
He said that there is not one confirmed death in the world as a result of a GMO product. He was not in any way endorsing GMO products.
Right.
The largest percentage of GMO products are soy products and corn products and all of that. I know that there was a march against Monsanto here. I know there's an organization in Tucson that's very, very concerned about GMOs. I think it's a travesty that the United States is the only developed country that doesn't have GMO labeling because of the food lobbies and all that. On the other hand, if you can't do everything at once, I would much rather spend my energies on getting people to eat more vegetables, fruits, grains, and legumes, including beans, and less processed food. The fact is, if people eat less processed food, they'll be eating less GMO. Because if you're eating whole food, especially organic food, you're not going to be eating GMOs anyway.
Such a good
so
answer.
You can get rid of the GMO question if you just eat good food.
Right, right. It goes away.
It goes away. And that's not to say it's unimportant at all.
I get it.
And the people
I
who
so
are concerned with it, I just have other concerns that I think should take our attention first.
And it's so, when you said that, it's like the camera shifted from over here about what is not as important to overhear about there are proven scientific reports on fat killing people, on all of those things that are related to diseases, that there is scientific evidence. So I love your answer, because I can be fanatical about GMOs. It's easy to get caught up in that, but I really hear what you're saying. For me, the transformation is, let's start with something that we can change in our life that's going to lead to a healthier me.
Well, we know, I mean, just look at, you know, and this isn't a political statement, it just happens to be the example. You look at Bill Clinton, and you know exactly what happened to him and his two big heart operations, and you know now he has 35 pounds less, he looks good, he's got energy and all that, and he changed his nutrition. He wasn't concerned about whether he was eating GMO or this or that or the other. He just wasn't eating a lot of saturated fat, he wasn't eating animal products, wasn't eating dairy products, and all of a sudden the guy has a new life. Now, there are some people who would say that's a really good thing, and some people wouldn't be so sure. But the fact is, Bill Clinton is going to live a long life, and he's going to get to see his grandchildren because his nutrition changed. It's really that simple.
What about the, when you talk about the center, how are you going to get the word out? Because people like me found out about this, and you told me, Amber, and it was like, oh my gosh, how could I live here and be Mrs. Green? So here I am ratting myself out and not know about Healthy You Network. I'm going to do my part to get the word out to people at the local level and places that I speak. But what is your plan for reaching more lives? I mean, Peaceable Kingdom is one that I talk about because it was such a success. But how do you get the attention of the media? Why isn't there Healthy You on a, you know, on the morning blend every once a week? Is it all the time? I mean, not just like a little shot here of the camera focusing on it, but it is our very lives that you're talking about.
Well, like, one of the things, we've had a merry little band of people who have been Healthy You Network.
I love that.
And only recently have we had three or four new, really committed volunteers come on to join us. And fortunately, one of those volunteers is a media expert.
Yes.
And she is going to be instrumental in helping us make the contacts we have to make. It's very difficult to get feature articles in the local papers and all of those kinds of things. There's so many good causes. But that's one of the pieces of the puzzle that we haven't been as strong on, is that whole marketing piece. But now we have some of the volunteers that can make that happen. You know, any nonprofit lives or dies on the basis of its volunteers. Healthy You Network right now is all volunteers. We happen to be extraordinarily fortunate in having two benefactors who have provided the resources to enable us to do the work we've done. But we have needed more people. And now with some of the people who have recently become involved, particularly people like Amber.
Amber, my own angel.
Yeah. I mean, well, she's a Healthy You Network
she's
angel.
She's a Healthy You
Well,
an
she's
angel.
A Healthy You Network angel and is going to be instrumental in getting some of that done. So we hope we don't have too many more occasions like this where people say, how come people don't know about you? But getting the word out is hard. I mean,
it is.
Really,
it's crowded
really,
out there. That's
really,
what I say. It's
crowded
in cyberspace.
It's a crowded field.
It really is, especially knowing what I know now about it. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe this. We got the two-minute warning, and I want you to tell us about the event on September 21st. Tell everybody how to contact you, how to stay connected. So what's the event on the 21st?
Well, the event on the 21st is at the Fox Theater. It's called Your Health, Your Planet. It's a full day, $35, including lunch.
Wow.
But we're going to have a series of national experts who come at this whole issue of whole plant-based nutrition, the whole lifestyle issue from different perspectives. We're going to have a world-class endurance athlete to put to rest the idea that you can't be a world-class athlete if you're just eating plants. We're going to have an animal activist leader. We're going to have a local physician. We're going to have one of the foremost physicians in the country who does research on this whole issue. And so that's going to be a chance on September 21st at the Fox for people to come and get a full, solid immersion.
And healthyunetwork.com is the website.
.org.
Healthyunetwork.org. And you have a Facebook page and you are on Twitter.
Correct.
So people really, healthyunetwork.org.
Healthyunetwork.org
is the way to find out about all these things. And believe me, Mrs. Green is in your court. I mean, thank you. You guys are awesome. Everybody, next week, Ruth Ryman, who's talking about Carefree Days, Pima Association of Governments. John and Amber, thank you so much for what you're doing for the planet and the impact you're having on me. Let's make it all about me. Okay, thanks, everybody. Make it a great green week, and thank you for being a part of Mrs. Green's World.